I am interested in spiritual success. I want spiritual success for myself, and I want spiritual success for you. How does it come about in our life? Is it done by the flip of a coin? Heads I win, tails I lose. Oh no, it's much more than that. We have sung some songs tonight about spiritual success. One of them said, how safe is the soul that abides in the Lord and security from sin hid away. That's not the flip of a coin. It gives us the secret of it right there at the end of the chorus. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Song number 300. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. I'm interested in spiritual success for us each one tonight. And I want to tell you how it comes about. I have a part. God has a part. I don't know if you've ever used two-part epoxy in the past. You buy it, it has two little containers, it has a plunger that feeds from both of those. If you were to just cut off one of those tips and mash the plunger, it would give you a puddle of epoxy, but it would never set up and hold anything. You've got to clip them both. And you'll also find sometimes when you push it, one side puts out more than the other does. You know what? That was determined back at the factory. This part needs to have more of this part for it to really set up. I want to tell you, spiritual success is that. God has a part. He plays the biggest part. But I want to tell you, salvation will never work unless I play my part. My part is small, but my part is necessary. He wants to seek and save that which is lost, but I have a part to play to be able to be successful. So I want to talk to you tonight about my part to be able to have spiritual success. I want to talk to you about determination. And I look at the definition of it. It's a decision of a question that has been in my mind. I've come to a decision now of which way I'm going to go about this question that I've had. It's a firm resolution. It is a settled purpose. And maybe you've heard this saying in the past, decision is half the battle. Once I've made up my mind, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. I don't care what comes my way. I'm going with you. Decision is half the battle. We sing a song number 223 that has decision in it. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. Here's some decision. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know. Is it because I've got something going for me? I'm the only one pushing out on this two-part epoxy. Oh, no. For God will give me victory if onward I shall go. I'm doing something, and he's doing something, and we can each one have spiritual success. There's a verse I want to start with tonight in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. It's asking for decision to be made. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death. You know what? That has been set before each one of us. Life and death and blessing and cursing. It's not a flip of the coin which way it goes for us. Therefore, choose life so that both thou and thy seed may live. So that both me and my children that come behind me can have spiritual success. He has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. I was thinking about this over in Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua is talking to the people, and he's got a decision that he wants them to make. 24 and 15, if it seem evil in your sight to serve the Lord, you decide. You choose what it's going to be. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether it's going to be the gods which your father served that's on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you know, that verse doesn't end yet. He could have let it in after all of you have taken a poll and made a decision. Let me know and I'll go with the majority. He didn't do that. He said, you go and decide for yourself what you're going to do. But what does he say? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's determination there. That is deciding this is the direction I'm going to go. No matter what else happens, as for me and my house, there's a place over in 1 Kings in the 18th chapter that a choice had to be made. We see in this one, Elijah is talking to all the people. And he says over in 18 and 21, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, follow him. And you know what happened here? Did the people, you know, there was times when Joshua would talk to the people and they would all answer with one accord, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, he talked to the people in this one and told them that. And it says in this verse, they answered him not a word. Political pressure was tough right then. Ahab was there. 400 prophets was there. And the pressure is on. They didn't answer a word. How long will you halt between two opinions? Will we take a poll and go with the majority? It's going to take more than that. You know, we're in a time where I believe polls should never be taken on moral issues. Why? It's not for me to decide. The Word of God is what decides what it will be. You know, if the United States took a poll tomorrow and they came back and told us that 98% of Americans agree with transgender, doesn't matter. If there's 95%, a poll comes in that we believe in homosexuality, doesn't matter. God's already decided it. God has already set a law in motion. If I want to have spiritual success, I'm going to have to go see what God sees about it. Because he's part of this two-part epoxy. He's doing the most of it. But I've got a part that I've got to play. And I want to be able to be faithful with that. We're not in it for what does everybody else think. And I'll go along with the majority. There is another example for us. I read this story. It's in 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. Pressure is applied on somebody. This chapter tells us about Jehoshaphat coming down to King Ahab. You know, much of the Bible is written about wars going on between the king of Israel and the king of Judah. But this time, they've got a little bit of time where they're in agreement. And Ahab and Jehoshaphat meet up together. And Ahab is asking in the third verse, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and we take it not out of the hand of Syria? And he asked Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle? And Jehoshaphat says, I'll go. But then look at the fifth verse. Jehoshaphat has a fear of the Lord. He wants to know what does the Lord think about these things that we're about to do. And so he says, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. How serious am I about knowing what does God think about this? What does God think about what I'm doing? What does he think about today of what this world is doing? You know, we're living in a time where light is called darkness and darkness is called light. Good today is called evil and evil today is called good. I need to know what does God think about these things. So here Jehoshaphat saying, let's get somebody together and let's find out what does God think about it. And he does. King of Israel, Ahab, gets 400 men together and asks them that question. And they say in the sixth verse, go up. The Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. 400 people in full agreement. And Jehoshaphat, a bell rings in his head. He's a follower of the Lord. A bell rings. Wait a minute. We might have better ask another time what God thinks. And he says in the seventh verse, Jehoshaphat says this, is there not a prophet of the Lord beside that we may inquire of him? Is there anybody else that we could get a second opinion from? This is a serious thing we're about to do. I want to be able to know for sure this is the Lord talking to me. Look at this answer in the eighth verse. The king of Israel said to him, there is yet one man, Micaiah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Am I going to have spiritual success with that? No. He does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. You know why? All of his life, Ahab has been evil. You know, it says Ahab was one of the most wicked kings that came along. And yet he's surprised that evil things are spoken about him when the Lord talks to him. And they go, and Jehoshaphat says, look, don't say that. Let's call him on and let's ask him. Now, you want to talk about pressure, is they send the messenger in the 13th verse. The messenger goes to Micaiah and he says, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one mouth. I want to let you know something. The poll has been taken. There's a big old group that already told him to go. And now the pressure is on. And what does it say? I pray thee, be like the word of them and speak that which is good. Just go ahead and say good things about it. And look what Micaiah says. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord says to me is what I will say. I'm thinking about us in 2026, how desperate I am and you are to know what the Lord thinks about the things that I am just about to do. You know, Ahab, even after Micaiah came, and he told him the same thing that everybody else has said. Yeah, go on up. The Lord's going to deliver it. Yeah, the Lord did deliver it, and Ahab died from it. So Ahab almost sensed, wait a minute, you're agreeing with them? I don't even want that to be said. Because he realized there's something here. Yeah. We have a song that children sing sometimes. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. This is determination. I have a decision to a question that's been in my mind, and I now have direction. It's not just, okay, I want the world to tell me what they think about it, and I'll follow it. No, I've got to have something more than that to be able to have spiritual success that takes me from this life and over into heaven at the end of it. We have had a lot of people that have given us a good example of following the Lord. You know what it says in Hebrews 12? We're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses to have success were willing to follow the Lord no matter what it cost them. They were willing to do it. There's another place that I'm thinking about. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, it tells us they came out with a high hand. Have you ever been walking with the Lord and everything just seems to be going your way? It's just wonderful. We heard that song tonight, but then things change. You know, you're up on the mountain and then things change, but you know what? God can be there the same way. You know, when the children of Israel, they left with a high hand, they are so happy. We will not be serving Pharaoh anymore. This is wonderful. Except they got the Red Sea out in front of them now, and they see a whole lot of dust boiling up behind them. And they realize Pharaoh and his chariots are coming. You know, it's one of those times where they left Egypt with a high hand, but all of a sudden it seems like we're going to be consumed here. You know, sometimes we can feel the same way. Yesterday, I had great victory, but I just got a phone call and everything can change for me. I want to be able to realize, you know what, the Lord's right here the same as he was yesterday. When everything was going well, he will be here when everything is going bad for me. And you remember what God told Moses to tell the people? Go forward. Determination is, we don't understand it, we don't know how it will happen, but go forward. You know, it is so easy to look back. There were times when and the devil has a plan with this in our looking back. He does not give us the full picture. He only gives some of it. There were times when the children of Israel looked back in their mind and they said, we remember the cucumbers. Can you imagine? That's all you remember was the cucumbers and the onions that we had back then. Compared to, we lost our children. Our sons were killed. We had to do such hard manual labor. But we remember, we used to eat some good fish back there. We used to have some cucumbers and garlics. You know what? The devil would love to remind us in the same way. I want to tell you, this week, some words of a song came to me. I had heard it when I was out in California years ago, and I only had just a few words. And tonight I was wanting to ask if anybody knows that song, I would like to hear it. The words that came to me was, don't turn around to the things that we've left behind. And then they come along and sing the whole song for us tonight. I said, thank you, Lord. I just had a few little words of it. It was enough to tell me I need some more of that song. Don't turn around to the things that we left behind. You know, there's a verse that says, if I build again the things that I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Don't turn around to the things that we've left behind. And there is one of the shortest messages in the Bible, is three words. Remember Lot's wife. She turned around physically, but she turned around in her mind. And I'm thinking for us, we're going to have to settle some things. Questions that come to our mind, questions the devil would love to bring to our mind. I need the Lord to give me clear direction, which way to go. Here's another song. I am resolved. You know what? That's not up for a poll. What do you think about it? And I'll make a decision. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. This is how we come to be able to sing song number 300. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. Did that just happen one day? And I don't even know how that happened. Oh, no. It happened because I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I'm going to hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. In 2026, when even the religious world may go in a direction, Lord, I want to be able to know, how can I have spiritual success in my life? I want to look at a verse over in Isaiah. Isaiah, the 50th chapter, and in the 6th verse. This, in my Bible, it says, this is given a picture of Jesus. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. I believe that verse is not only for Jesus back then, but it's for us today. I can set my face like a flint. Now, does that mean I'm hard-headed? No. I've got some convictions. I've got some resolution in my life. It took some resolution in the Bible for some people to be able to make it. One of those was, we find it in the book of Acts. Acts, the 20th chapter. You know, Paul had to make some decisions to some things that was coming along in his life. What does it say? Got some determination that he had in his life. In Acts, the 20th chapter, and in the 20th verse, he's talking about 22nd verse, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost, I don't know what's going to happen there, but I've already been visited by the Lord. Here's what he's let me know. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. You know, Paul gives us a little description of all the things that happened to him. How many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was stoned, all of the persecution that he received. And if there's ever a time to lose your determination, it could have happened to Paul. But what did he say? None of these things move me. He's got a settled purpose here. I've already made up my mind. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself. Want to finish my course with joy. You know what? That's what I want every one of us to be able to do. We don't know what's going to happen to us tomorrow. Some of these requests that we are praying for today, maybe 2 days ago, that person had no idea they were in the condition. I think of the prayer requests for Brother John Ross. I think about the times when we would come before and he has enjoyed being in service so much. He enjoyed being out here with the saints. He didn't know a few days ago the change that would come about in his life. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. But I want to tell you something. I can have a determination inside by the help of the Lord. This is not a two-part epoxy that his side is plugged up, and I can do it. You know what does Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. If you don't put these two together, it's going to have no power. But what did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ. I can be faithful through Christ, which strengthens me. So I see this. And he went on down in 21 and 13. You know, they're crying. He's about to go to Jerusalem. The folks that love him are weeping. And what's he say in the 13th verse of 21st chapter? Then Paul answered, what do you mean to weep and break my heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. That's determination. You know, there was times when Paul had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed. You know what? I do that myself. Whenever I need help from the Lord, I'd like for that problem to be gone away. He did. He prayed 3 times for it to happen. And the Lord said, I've got grace sufficient for you. Folks, I want to tell you, whatever troubles come to our life, let's be very careful about how we approach the Lord for answering it. What does it say? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He lets me tell him, Lord, I would like for you to do it exactly this way. This seems like the very best way. Jesus left us an example. When he prayed to the Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I'm so glad to be able to read that in the scripture. He was able to tell his Father, I'd like for it to go this way. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Part of this spiritual success is for me to end up in heaven. Had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I'd go astray. He leadeth true, I will not question, though through the valley I shall go. And then that song ends with one more verse at the end of it. Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. I want to tell you, it's been some time past now since Cheryl was gone, but I still remember the determination she had. I'm going to follow the Lord. Like Paul said, none of these things move me. It doesn't matter if it's cancer. It doesn't matter if it's pain. I can remember the nights where we would be calling out to God, Lord, we need some help. We don't have a backup plan here. We're needing your help desperate. And I can remember times where while we were praying, she would say, the Lord has taken the pain. Did he do it every time? Nope. The times where the pain would continue and we say, Lord, I know you're here, though. We're going to trust you anyway. You know, she had a testimony when hospice would come to visit her. They say, what's your pain level? She said, let me tell you about my pain level. When one of them comes up, another one goes down. Said, the Lord's in control of all of that. And he's helping me right now. I noticed so many times when the nurse would come to visit her, her pain level would be down. For she was able, I mean, they knew she ought to be. In fact, they'd tell her, look, your pain is going to be great. We're going to give you a little kit that you put in your refrigerator. When that pain hits, give me a call and we'll tell you the medications to take to kill the pain. Cheryl said, no, don't want you to leave it. I'm going to put it in the hands of the Lord. And he walked with her all the way to heaven. Folks, we need some determination in our life. We sing these songs and it's so easy for it to come through my lips. Where he leads me, I will follow. That only takes a few seconds to sing. It will take a lifetime for me to live it. Because this determination is something I have to renew day by day. It's not enough that 30 years ago I made a decision for Christ. I want to live for you and I want to make heaven my home. There's going to be things come to every one of us in this room, maybe sooner than what we realize, to where I have to say, Lord, I'm determined to make heaven my home. I can't do it by myself. I'm not out here trying to apply the epoxy myself and it just won't stick. Oh no, Lord, I need your help. But I realize I've got a part that I've got to play along with it. And then after he says all these things, he has something else he wants to tell us. In 2 Timothy 4 and 6, because see, we're not at the end yet. He came to his end. He realized, I don't know how he realized it. Maybe someone had told him. But he says, I am now ready to be offered in the 6th verse. And the time of my departure, it's at hand. Whether somebody told him Tuesday morning, you will be killed. Did he say, I'm going into tremors. I can't believe this is happening to me. I'm now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. That's more than a wish. That is something that I have to purpose, a steady purpose in my life every day. You know, I was, as Cheryl breathed her last breaths, I read her these verses. Cheryl, you fought a good fight. You know what? My race is not ended. To be able to finish with what he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to everybody in this room, everybody who will determine I'm living for God, going to make heaven my home. Then we have the verse that says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. It's available for every one of us. I think about Job, a perfect and an upright man. Things ought to be going his way, and they were. He was the greatest man of the East. And then Satan comes along. And there's a contest that I think Job never knew what was happening. There was a time that God had confidence in Job to the point that he's the one that brought it up. God said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yes, you got a hedge about him. You're blessing everything that he's got, everything that he's doing. If you will take down the hedge for a little bit, let me touch his stuff. He will curse you to your face. You know, when I read that story, I need to search my life. Lord, am I hooked to my stuff? If my stuff left me, would my faith in God leave also? Would my confidence in God leave also? You know, his confidence in God was so much that when they told him, the Sabaeans took these things. The Chaldeans took those things. He could have been writing it down. Tell you what, I'll catch up with them and I'll get them back. They will pay for this. What did he say? He finished it all up with victory. He said, the Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then that wasn't all of it. Satan looked at it again when he met up with the Lord. And the Lord said, you still see how he retains his integrity with me. And the devil said, skin for skin. I want to tell you, this comes closer to us than we realize. Skin for skin. Everything a man has, he's going to give it for his life. I say, Lord, help me. Because you know what? The Lord had confidence in Job to the point that he said, okay, you can touch him. You cannot take his life. And when the devil touched him with an affliction, that was so great that his wife looked on it and said, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." And what did he say to her? "You're speaking like a foolish woman. I'm pretty happy to receive the good things we have been these years when we had all of these temporal blessings and health. We were praising the Lord for those things. Will we receive the good and will we not receive the evil?" I want to tell you, when the evil things come into our life, and I'm not talking about sin, I'm talking about just troubles that get us. When they happen, may I have the testimony that Job had. "Though he slay me," this is his kind of confidence in God. "Though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him." He had a confidence to the point that he says, "I looked on the left hand, I looked on the right hand, places that I felt him so close, times we had good communion together. I don't feel him anymore, but I'm not quitting." Job had some determination. Here's where I am. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. I want to tell you, this message is not just for you. It's for me. It's for each one of us. Because none of us know about our tomorrow. You know, Jesus was able to know what would happen. When he came into Jerusalem and so many people were cheering, you remember how the disciples had wondered, which one of us is going to be the greatest? I can almost imagine them swelling up inside. This thing is about to fire off. We're going to have to find out soon who's the greatest, because this thing is fitting to get it. There's a multitude of people throwing branches out in front of him, "Hosanna to the highest." You know what? Jesus was not moved with that. He had the ability to see that in 5 days he would be hanging on the cross. That's why he wept when he looked at Jerusalem. He wasn't moved. You know, he had emotion like we have. And yet he was able, you know, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He had things happen to him and he was able to control his emotion. He's able to see our tomorrows. I cannot. He doesn't always let us know what will be in my tomorrow ahead of time where I can prepare. I lived in Louisiana as a child, and it's altogether different there than it is in Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, they say, "We've got a tornado. It's on the ground over here, and it's going to be over here in this town in 3 minutes. You better get in some safe place." And you know what? They will track it. It's interesting for me to look at it. It's going to be here at this time. In 30 minutes, it's going to be over here. You know what they're doing? They're just counting on God keeping it going the same direction. Because after a while, they say, "Oh, it turned. Now it's going to be heading toward this way." It's man trying to do the best he can to see how God does his business. Yeah. But you don't have very long to get ready. The difference in a tornado and a hurricane is when I lived in Louisiana, they could tell you maybe 2 or 3 days ahead of time. Oh, yeah. There's a storm way out in the Gulf. It's moving at 20 miles an hour. Well, forget that. It's going to be days before it gets here. But you know what? It's coming. It's coming. If it keeps this direction, it'll make landfall here at this time. You know, they're tracking that. But you know what happened is I had days. As a family, we had days, if we wanted to believe the report, to go out and put some plywood on the windows, because they say it could hit this area. You know what I could do is say they have missed it the last 5 times. It always veered off somewhere else. Forget it. You know what? There came a time where you could not put plywood on your windows. It's too late to prepare for it. You better just hunker down. And there's something else about a hurricane. After it blows so hard for so long, it stops. And it is dead still. And they say, "Don't move. You're in the eye of the storm. You're soon going to catch it going the other way here in just a little bit." I want to tell you, we've got some storms coming in our life. You've already been through some. We've got some more coming out in the future. Is that meant to discourage us? I don't think so. I think what it is to help me just prepare. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I cannot have spiritual success except that you help me. But I do also know that you're not going to do it by yourself. I'm going to have to yield myself to you. So there's a song that I want us to look at as we close. It's song number 363, and it's a question. It says, shall I wear that bright crown God has offered to me when my life shall have come to a close? And then the chorus says, yes, I will wear a crown over there. You know, that doesn't take me but just a few seconds to say that, but it's going to take me the rest of my life to live it day by day, having a resolute, firm conviction, a desire, Lord, I'm going to make heaven my home and I'll walk with you. There's another verse of that says, let my anchor be fastened so deep in the rock till the storms of this life all are past. Yes, I will wear a crown. I want to tell you, my desire is I want to wear one day. Now, you know, when we look at that, what good is a crown to me? I'm not interested. And I saw a picture on a billboard at Oklahoma City as I go to work, and it shows the value of you having a diamond ring. It says it's eternally yours. I thought, wait a minute. That thing is so surface, you won't be worried about a diamond ring out in eternity. But there are some things that can be eternally mine. I want to be able to walk pleasing before the Lord. I want to make heaven my home. And it's going to only come from determination. I desire your prayers.